You know that one of the primary themes of Rosh Hashanah, which expresses itself throughout our davening, is Malchus Shemayim. The notion being Makabu Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. So we find this in terms of many Minhagim that we do, in terms of many of the Piyutim that we do, all express the Inyanim of Malchus. But even on a level of Halachas, of Kabbalah, Malchus Shemayim is really an integral part of the entire Vedas Yom Rosh Hashanah. So we'd speak a little bit about how this expressed itself in our davening, on a level of the Reis, on a level of the Rabbanon, the notion, the significance of Kabbalah, Malchus Shemayim. The Gemara comments in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah that in addition to Tekiah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, one is required to recite Psukim to accompany the Tekiah Shofar, because the Psukim of the Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofaros, the Gemara derives this from Psukim, a series of Psukim. How do you know you have to say Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofaros? So the Gemara says, well, it says the word Zichron, it means Zichronos, it says Nisham Lakechem, it means Malchus, and Shofaros, all drushes. And the Gemara has to teach us that you have to, when you daven Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, we paskin only on Musaf. Some Rishonim say it's all the Shmoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, but we have many is only Musaf. There are three different opinions of the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that you say Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofaros in all the Shmoneh Esrei. Other Rishonim say that you only say it in Musaf, but only Shlech Tzibur says it in Musaf. Everybody else davens a regular Shmoneh Esrei, a regular seven brachas, and we pass in the middle opinion. So we somewhere in the middle in terms of the length of that davening. If we would have held like the other Rishonim, that would be very long. Other Rishonim would have been very short, and now it's somewhere in the middle. So the din is that you have to say Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofaros in the context of the Tekiah Shofar in the Shmoneh Esrei. So the Gemara derives this halacha from Psukim. So it's Machlekes Rishonim, just how serious we should take this drasha from Psukim. So Rashi, in his Perush on Chumash, writes on the Psukim itself, in Yom Tru Yelochem, so Rashi, Kam, and Zichron, Trumik, and Kurdish, Rashi says, from here that you have to say Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofaros. Rashi incorporates these drashas into his Perush on Chumash. Rashi, usually, in his Perush on Chumash, is telling you, Dinim Deraisa, he's usually telling you that he's commenting on what the pshat of the pasuk is, what the drash of the pasuk is. It's hard to believe that Rashi is incorporating dinim de rabbanon into his interpretation of chumash. Rashi in Maseches Rosh Hashanah also seems to say that the saying of the psukim is some kind of a din min haTorah, that the drashas that Chazal are deriving the recitation of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofaros should be taken with the utmost seriousness. Because Rashi comments on the Mishnah, when the Mishnah speaks about the three sets of shofar that you blow shalosh or shalosh shalosh, you blow one tekiah through a tekiah, then tekiah through a tekiah, not tekiah through a tekiah. So Rashi says, where did these numbers come from? Why is it that the Torah tells us that you have to blow nine kolos? So Rashi says, one set of kolos is for Malchus, and one set of kolos is for Zichronos, and one set of kolos is for Shofaros. The Mishnah is talking about the din d'arayis of tekiah shofar. The Mishnah is explaining to you what tekiah shofar is all about. So Rashi is telling you a story that you blow one unit of three kolos corresponding to Malchus. The Malchus was only instituted by the Chachamim. It was part of, say, the Tachon of Anshe Knesset Gedolah, when they instituted the Shemoneh Esrei, they instituted the different tefillos that we say throughout the year. If you can tell me the Malchus didn't exist for 12,000 years after Matan Torah, then that's a strange way of describing why you blow shofar on the level of the Raisa. So once again, Rashi seems to be emphasizing this idea that the recitation of the Psukim is not a din derabbanan. It's not just Tuchus Tefillah, not just Shemoneh Esrei that was instituted in the days of Bayesheni, but it has its roots. It's a real din deraisa that you have to accompany Tekiah Shofar with Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofaros. So notwithstanding Shittas Rashi, the Gemara in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah doesn't seem to bear this out. The Gemara talks about the situation where a person has two cities to go to. Either he could spend Rosh Hashanah in city A or in city B. You can't go to both. Out of the Tchum, you go to A or B. The problem is that A has a shofar and B has a chazan. The guy doesn't know, he doesn't know how to blow, doesn't know how to daven, doesn't know anything. So if he goes to city A, he'll hear shofar. If he goes to city B, then he'll hear Shemoneh Esrei, so he'll be Yotzei Musaf with the chazan. So which one should he go to? So the Gemara says, which one should he go to? The Gemara says, you go to the one where the shofar is. The Gemara says, obviously you go to the one with the shofar. So says, what's the chava mean that you go to the other one? Hadir Raisa, Hadir Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, no, the chiddush is that even though the shofar, he's not quite sure about, he's not even sure there's really a shofar. He thinks he remembers last year, maybe there's a shofar there. If he goes to the town which has the chazan, he knows for a fact, chazan, that's advertised, public, everybody knows there's a chazan there. So the chazan will for sure hear the musaf. If he goes to where the shofar is, he may or may not chap tekiah shofar. So now, you have a real shaila. So what should I do? Should I go for the one which is tekiah shofar, which I may or may not get? I may end up with nothing. Or should I go for the Vada? I should go for the Feshua or a Musaf. So at least I'll get something. So the Musaf also, the din is that you go for the Suffolk Shofar. Why is that? Because Shofar is the Araisa, and the Shemoneh Esrei and Musaf is all the Midrabanan. So comes the Ramban, and it's Perish on Chumash, that asks such as Rashi, how did Rashi say that Malchios is the Raisa? How did Rashi say Zichron Shofar is called the Raisa? Why should we give precedence to Shofar than to the Psukim? If this is the Raisa, that's the Raisa. If one is a Vad and one is a Safek, you should go for the Vad. After the Gemara says that, yeah, forget about Musaf. Musaf Nashma is only a Dirabonim. With Skir Shofar is the Raisa. If Rashi is right that the recitation of the Psukim of Malchios, Zichron and Shofar is also the Raisa, it would have made sense to opt for the one that's a Vad in the Raisa, rather than the Safek the Raisa. So the Rabban says, is he for me that Rashi is not right? So what's the Pshat in Rashi? So all the later Acharim explain that Rashi is driving at us as follows. Rashi means to say that if you just stop and get up and say Malchios, Zichron and Shofar on Rosh Hashanah in the middle of nowhere without a shofar, so that's not only midrabanan. That's like the regular daven. That's the daven musaf on Yom Tov. On Rosh Chodesh you daven this bracha and Shabbos, that bracha and Yom Tov you daven this bracha, and Rosh Hashanah they misachin you daven three special brachas for musaf. That's plain davening musaf. That's only midrabanan. But if you have a shofar, then the Malchus, Zichron and Shofros becomes elevated to a din d'oraisa. When it accompanies the shofar, then the Torah says, that's talking about a mitzvah mid-d'oraisa. It's like Moshe Lamad Nevedome. When Rabbi Gamliel says that Koshla Omer Shlosh Adwar B'Pesach Liyotze Dechavosei. So if you just sit around and talk about matzah, that's not necessarily d'oraisa. But if you eat the matzah and you talk about the matzah, then it becomes elevated to a din d'oraisa. So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah makes sense. The Gemara says, if you have a choice to go to city A or to city B, city A has a shofar and city B has a chazan, of course you go to the shofar, because the shofar is itself a deraisa. Malchus, Zichron and Shofar is only a deraisa if and when it's accompanied by the shofar. So a kopanim, according to Shittas Rashi, what we do when we daven musaf in Rosh Hashanah, we're mekayim a mitzvah mid deraisa. According to the Ramban, we're not mekayim any mitzvah mid deraisa with davening musaf. The davening musaf for us is only mid derabanan. We still have to recite Psukim Malchus, Zichron and Shofros. How many Psukim do we have to recite? What constitutes this kiyum of the recitation of Malchus, Zichron and Shofros? So the Gemara quotes Tanoim, the Maisa we pass in Halacha, that one is supposed to have 10 Psukim. It's supposed to have 10, 3 Psukim from Chumash, 3 from Ksuvim, 3 from Nevi'im, and the last Pasuk is supposed to be from Torah. That's the way Lechet Chilat to fulfill this mitzvah. What if B'di'evit, what if a person didn't say all of these Psukim? So B'di'evit, you're also B'yayitzeh. What if a person said no Psukim? What if a person just got up and said, Rabban Shalom, you are the Melech, as it says in the Chumash, Ayin Sham. If you look in the Chumash, it says you're the Melech. So Gemara, that's also okay. Then the post can later on, he has to say, you're the Melech as it says in the Chumash, you're the Melech as it says in the Kachachach, you're the Melech as it says in the Nevi'im, and we'll look up the Psukim when we get a chance. So Gemara says, that's also okay. Kevin Shalom, Mr. Ruskin, Kotzel Leymar, so according to Medev Shem, that would also be acceptable for Malchus. That's the B'di'ev, that's the Shvacha way to do it. The correct way to do it is to quote the Psukim itself. Which Psukim have to be quoted? The Gemara is clear that there are no specific Psukim. There was never a Takonas HaChamim, which Psukim to quote. Sometimes in Nuchas Tefillah we find that the Chamim will misak in a very, very specific Nusach. It's in the Nusach of the Brachas of the Shemesh. So the Chasim of each Bracha was instituted by the Anshik Nasa Gedola. So you have to say Mevar Bach HaShem, Mevar HaShonim. You have to say Bach HaShem, Mekab Zit Chama Yisrael. Each Nusach of Bracha, each Chasim of Bracha was instituted verbatim by the Chacham. When it came to the Malchus, Zichron and Shofros, so the Takonah, the their eyes, whatever it was not to say this particular word, Aleinu L'Shamech, whatever, how we start off the Malchios. The Takana was that you have to say an idea of Malchios, and you have to support that idea of Malchios with a series of Psukim, and you pick whichever Psukim you want. The different minhagim developed in Klai Yisrael, so which Psukim to quote. So most of us daven pretty much standard Nusuch in terms of Malchus, Zichron and Shofros, and we all quote pretty much the same Psukim. Not everybody, there are some communities that are served in Broyas, they have a different piyut, different order of Psukim, right?
That's right.
Yeah, they have a whole, I remember when I used to daven for Amos, it was a whole Malchus, Zichron and Shofros, look how many different. They had 10 Psukim, but it was a different layout in terms of the Psukim, a different quoting of different Psukim. So one of the psukim that we quote in the Malchus, Zichron and Shofros, the pasuk that we conclude with, is a very, very strange pasuk, because it doesn't mention that HaKadosh Baruch is a melech. All the other psukim say Malchus explicitly, and there's one pasuk that doesn't say anything about Malchus. That's Shema Yisrael. So the Gemara says that's okay. The Gemara quotes Shaila in the end of Masechet Hashanah. The Gemara concludes that that's alright. You can quote the pasuk Shema Yisrael as one of the psukim of Malchus, which is in fact what we do. Why is, how does that qualify as a pasuk of Malchias? The Gemara says that even though it doesn't mean literally Malchias, but that the ultimate expression of Kabbalah Samachu Shemaim, we know that when it comes to the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, so we spoke about this in the past as the Rashba in the second bracha, the second brachas, where the Rashba comments that although we find by all mitzvahs, there's a machloikis for the mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana, it's Ein Tzrichas Kavana. If a person blows the shofar and he's not having in mind for the mitzvah, he's having in mind he likes the sound, or the guy's eating the matzah, he likes the taste, he's not doing for the mitzvah. Is it yaitz? Is it not yaitz? Machloikis Atanoi, machloikis Amorai, machloikis Avishai, machloikis long with standing machloikis, whether the person is yotzei a mitzvah without the proper Kavana. When it comes to Kriya Shema, so all of a sudden the Gemara in the second paragraph of the second bracha seems to say that by Kriya Shema, everybody holds a deep Kavana. I say seems because not only Shem learned Pshat in the Gemara that way, but the Rashi at least learned Pshat in the Gemara that way, that when it comes to Kriya Shema, so that's a given, that's a doer, before everybody requires Kavana for Kriya Shema. If you say Kriya Shema without Kavana, you're not Yotzei. So the Rashba asks, Ma Mishtara Kriya Shema from all other mitzvahs? So the Rashba explains that the word Kavana means something very different when it comes to Kriya Shema than by other mitzvahs. By other mitzvahs, the idea of Kavana just means, Hinani Mucham Zuman L'Shei Mitzvah. I'm blowing the shofar L'Shei Mitzvah. I'm shaking the lulav L'Shei Mitzvah. I'm putting on a tzitz L'Shei Mitzvah. That's what Kavana means when it comes to other mitzvahs. But when it comes to Kriya Shema, that's also true. We pass them to serve Kavana, that's also true. You need Kavana L'Shei Mitzvah. But the Kavana that the Gemara is talking about in Brachas is a different Kavana. That's the Kavana's Kavala Samalchu Shemayim. Says the Rashba, since the very essence of the mitzvah Kriya Shema is not really the words. The words, or you have to say the words. You're not yet to be without but you have to express the words. But the real mitzvah of Kriya Shema is a Kabbalah Shemalev. It's the Kabbalah Samalchu Shemayim. So says the Rashba, how can you have a Kabbalah Samalchu Shemayim if you're not paying attention to what you're saying? What kind of Kabbalah? It's honest. It's not a Kabbalah Samalchu Shemayim. When you have a mitzvah shaking a lulav, so the mitzvah is a Ma'aseh Netilah, the mitzvah is a shaking of a lulav. When you have a mitzvah of eating matzah, it's a Ma'aseh mitzvah, so you ate the matzah. Well, you're thinking about the matzah, not thinking about the matzah. As long as it's sometime before you ate the matzah, you thought, didn't it become a mitzvah, that's good enough. At the time you're eating the matzah, you can be thinking about the Afrikaner president. That doesn't really matter what you're thinking about at the time you're eating the matzah. But when it comes to Kriya Shema, it's not enough just before you start the mitzvah. Yeah, L'Shei Mitzvah is Kriya Shema. No, at the time you're doing the mitzvah, you have to be Makabo Malchus Shemayim. And if you're not Makabo Malchus Shemayim, then it's always mitzvah. That's not a key of Kriya Shema Bichlal. So you see that the very essence of Kriya Shema on the level of the Araisa is not just a recitation of words. That is the goof of it. The etzma mitzvah is the Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim. So that's what the Gemara means in Rosh Hashanah, that to say that you can't use Shema Yisrael for the Pascha Malchus, that's absurd. If Shema Yisrael is goof with the key of Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim, in the Pascha Malchus God Mizas. You don't need the technical word of Melech. As long as you have the Shema Yisrael, that's also okay. That's what we do with Chachila. That's the last of the Pesukim. That's the 10th Pascha, the Pascha of Chumash that we use to conclude the Bracha of Malchus. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos that you're putting aside Rosh Hashanah for a moment, whenever a person recites a bracha, so it's critical that a person incorporates into the Nischa Bracha the notion of Malchus Shemayim. All brachas begin with Baruch Hashem Lakeinu Melech. You always have to say the word Melech. Machlekes Amarayim, how serious is that recitation of the word Melech? That person said a bracha. Sometimes the person makes a bracha. They mumble half the words in a bracha. What if a person didn't say the word Melech? Would he be yaitz in the bracha? Not. So the Gemara quotes a Machlekes, which actually has its roots in this coming week's Parsha. The Torah says in Parshas Kisavo that every 3 years, so a person gets up and he makes a vidim ha'isras. He announces, he confesses that he did all the mitzvahs properly. It's a very strange lashon of vidim. That's what the mafreshim talk about. Why is that called vidim? Vidim usually means something that I did bad, so this is something that I did good. Okay, whatever. That's from the world of Jerusalem, there's a lot to talk about. But the Torah says that the guy gets up every 3 years and he says that I did this and I did that and I did this and I did everything right. I ate the ma'isras properly. I gave the ma'isras properly. I didn't forget anything. So the Gemara says in Brachas, in the Mishnah, so it says in Bikurim, I didn't forget. You just said everything you did. What's left? So the Mishnah says, Bikurim, I didn't forget to recite a bracha when I was mafresh the tumas in Isis. But the Mishnah concludes, that when I was mafresh the tumas in Isis, so I mentioned the Shem Hashem. I said the bracha, Baruch Hashem. Okay, anyways. I acknowledge the Kaddish Baruch Hu, lo shechach. I didn't forget you, Rabbi Shalom, when I never sat in a bracha. So that mishnah is very difficult altogether because l'chora bracha is only the rabbanon. So how does that pshat in the pasuk? That's a different topic. But whatever that pasuk means, whatever that maimon chazal means, Chazal say that when you recite a bracha in that mishnah, lo shechachti v'lahaske shim chalav, I made sure to mention Shem Hashem. So the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, you see from that mishnah that when you make a bracha, you have to say Kodesh Baruch Hu's name. If a guy says Baruch Atah, Melech HaOlam, it doesn't say the Shem Hashem, so b'chlal he's not yet saying a bracha, even b'diyavet. L'haske shim chalav, the Shem Hashem is an integral part of a bracha. So if a person forgets here and there a word from a bracha, nishkefelech, but he forgot to say Kodesh Baruch Hu's name, that's out of bounds. That's totally, completely out of the realm of a bracha. There is a machlekes haposkim about what kind of a name of Kodesh Baruch Hu does a person have to say. You know, Kodesh Baruch Hu has a lot of names. He has the shame of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, which we have a tradition in Tosha Vav-Peh tells us is not supposed to be pronounced the way it's written. That's the Gemara in Pesach. There's that a couple of the last week in Daf Yomi. The Gemara derives from Sukkim, Shemili Olam, Zichu L'dor V'dor. That Lokesh Arich Davari Nikra, that the Shem Hashem was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in two ways. It was given as the way it's written, the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and then it was given the way it's pronounced, the shame, the way we pronounce it, the shame of Adnos, the Baruch Hashem, the way we say the word Hashem when we make a bracha. So the din is that that's one type of Shem Hashem. Then you have another kind of Shem Hashem. You have Elokim, Elokeinu, Ka, Shekai, Tzvokos, a lot of other shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're enough Kaminas Ladina of those shemos. Say, for example, if a person is mochig as Hashem, a person erases the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's an Isadir Isis. You're not allowed to erase Hashem's name, not only the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, but any of the Shemus, the seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Eirim Nimchokim. So enough Kamin is Medaraisa of what constitutes a Shem Hashem. So there's Machlekes HaFoskim, when we say that a Baruch has to have Shem Hashem, which Shem Hashem must it have? So Mishnah Berurah assumes that it doesn't have to have Dafka, the Shem Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, where we recite Baruchas. In theory, if a person would say, Baruch HaTosh HaKai, Melech HaOlam, that would technically be a bracha. You're not supposed to do that because the Gemara says, called Masharim at Beshitabuchab and Lotoya. If a person changes the text of a bracha that was instituted by Chazal, that's a mistake. That's inappropriate. But not every tos is Ma'akeh B'dievet. But if a person recites a bracha that he gets the basic theme of the bracha, he just chopped off a few words here and there, changed a little bit. So B'dievet, the bracha would be good. But if you left out Shem Hashem, you wouldn't be Yetzi altogether. So the Mishnah Berurah says, I didn't leave out Shem Hashem. I said Shem Hashem. I said Elokeinu. I said Mela. I said Shakai, said Tzvako, said Ka. I said another one of the seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu would technically be okay. And Rav Moshe disagrees. Rav Moshe says he thinks that you have to say Dafka the Shem Hashem. You have to be Dafka the Shem of Baruch Atah, the way the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the way the traditional pronunciation of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, that's necessary in order for the bracha to be chal. Without that, so the whole bracha is batel mevutel. So Rav Moshe says, it seems to be against the Gemara. The Gemara says, bracha says that a person could say a bracha in another language. Gemara speaks about there was a shepherd, Binyamin Ryan, one calls himself a shepherd, who used to make a bracha when he would eat bread, Brich Rachamana Mbari the Haipita. He didn't speak Hebrew so well, so he would say the bracha in Aramaic, and he would say, Blessed is the merciful one, Rachaman, who created this bread. So he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name Rachamana. So comes when Moshe desks at himself, if I'm telling you that it has to be the shame of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, Rachamana is not Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. According to the Mishnah Berurah, that anything that's a shame Hashem, whatever's a basic translation of Hashem's name, that's also okay in all languages, but according to me, that it's gotta be Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, how's Rachamana good? So Moshe writes, no, he said, Rachamana is the translation of the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. So the bracha, the shame Hashem doesn't have to be in Hebrew. You can say the shame Hashem in another language, whatever the blessed or whatever the official check of the article, how they translate the shame of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, so it could be B'dievet in another language also, but it has to be a translation of that word of Adnos. If it's a translation of another one of the shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that wouldn't be good. That's already a Kiddush. That's already a Machlokes. It's Chapsin of Gavin Ladina in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A lot of times, you go to someone's house, they're making Kiddush, they're making a motzi. You hear this like garbled of Baruch Hu. You don't quite hear the Shem Hashem. But sometimes, if you're lucky, you hear the Elokeinu. So is a Baruch Hu with Elokeinu good enough? Baruch Hu Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. So according to Mishnah Berurah, it's B'diyev, it's good enough. Because it's also a Shem Hashem. And according to Moshe, no, it's no good. It's not a Shem Hashem. It's not a shame of the official shemus that's necessary in terms of Uchas Brachas. That's a shaila ready as to which one of the shemus Hashem, when we speak about a bracha requiring a shame, which shemus precisely are we talking about? But everybody agrees that a bracha Without Shem Hashem, it's not a bracha. What if a person said a bracha but didn't say Melech? He just says Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Motzei Lech Me'aretz. He left out the Melech. He, under his breath, the whole Melech. Is that also Ma'akev? That's Machlekes Amarayim. So one of the Amarayim of his bracha says that Kol Bracha She'ein Ba Shem U'Malchus Ein a bracha. That you require Malchus also in order to declare to be a bracha. And the other opinion says, nah, as long as it's Yesh B'Shem, it has a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name, that's also good. So if you have it, that would be okay. So that's a further shaila in the Gemara. Whether you require Shem U'Malchus, or whether Shem is good enough. So we pass in Halacha L'Chumra. We pass in the Kol Bracha She'ein Ba Shem U'Malchus would not be accepted. So in order for a bracha b'di'evet to be, even mamash b'di'evet to be chal, it has to be clearly pronounced that Hashem Hashem is mentioned, and it has to be that the malchus is mentioned. Everything has to be mentioned in order for the bracha to be valid. Sometimes you can have a situation where the shem is said, but maybe it was mispronounced. Maybe it's not even good even b'di'evet. That's a shveir shal from the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish was of the opinion that the Shem Hashem has to be pronounced in the proper manner, and he thought that the way Shem Hashem was pronounced in certain communities, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, he thought was a mispronunciation of the Shem Hashem. He said the Ashkenazi pronunciation was always a komatz, so it was noy, it was supposed to be noy. He says that all of a sudden people started to say nai, so I don't want to say it because according to others it is a pronunciation, but it's it would say the Alan, then it would say Nai. So the Chazon Ish said that's a different word that we have by Lo, right? By Lo, when Lo speaks to the Al-Na'ad Unai, that's not Hashem Hashem. That means it's a different word, Lagamri. So the Chazon Ish was very opposed to that. So they say from the Chazon Ish that he used to tell people who would otherwise pronounce things would have to Rasvar did if they were Ashkenazim. So at least when they said the Shem Hashem, they should say it with Noi. So you had some people in Israel who would make brachas, you know, they would say everything else with ta 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 ta's. But they would get to the Shem Hashem, it would be a Noi. But Vashiva came Yamna, right? He used to do that. Vashiva came Yamna since he used to make, remember when he made Havdalah, that was always, he made Kiddush, he made Havdalah, so he would make on behalf of the Yeshiva. So most of the Bachar of the Yeshiva, a lot of the Bachar of the Yeshiva were Taka Svardim, and a lot of the Bachar, most of all the Israeli boys used to speak Havaras Svardit, like modern day Hebrew and Eretz Israel. So I guess he didn't want to daven everything Legamri in Ashkenazis, but at least when it came to the Shem Hashem, he was always Machpid. He was from the Chazanish, you know, Talmidim, he would always say the Shem Hashem that way. And others disagreed. Others disagreed. They held that. They still call it Shem Hashem, whether it's right pronunciation, wrong pronunciation, but still clearly the Shem Hashem, that's also okay. We weren't Machpid yesterday for Pasha Zohar to learn it a different Havarot. Were you? So we announced yesterday by Chris Atera that you should have in mind to learn Pasha Zohar, because the Chesed Sefer writes in one place, when you have a break of 13 months, it's a Shana Muberes, so maybe that's considered to be a lap of Zohar. Because Shir Shicha Yud Beis Chodesh. So he has a Chumrah. One place he says the Chumrah is good, one place he laughs at the Chumrah. But we follow the Chumrah, so we announced right before Shvi, everyone should have in mind to learn Pasha Zohar. So the Valkyrie yesterday was happened to be someone who learns Havara Svardit, so I realized that had to be in Chris Atera. No. I'd say with Pasha Zohar, with Havara Svardit also. Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that anything that's Lashon HaKodesh, everything that people thought was Lashon HaKodesh, is B'di'evah is considered to be Lashon HaKodesh, even if it's not your particular minhag. Even Rav Shtombach, it's a big machmir. Another area, Rav Shtombach also laughs at the Chumrah. The Chumrah nerds as well that they have of laying Pasha Zohar 15 different Havarot. So Rav Shtombach says, Lashon Malat of Zemiel, it's a new Chumrah the last 20 years. It's his old thing. Now it's already 40 years. But it's the new Chumrah. The Zikr, then any Havarot that you hear in is acceptable for Pasha Zohar as well. Anyway, get back to the story. So when a person says a bracha, so you have to make sure to say Hashem Hashem, whatever that means, and you have to make sure to mention, to acknowledge Malchus as well. So we pass in the halacha that if a person doesn't say the word Malchus, then he wouldn't be Yaitzeh even B'di'evet. So the lady, the Acharonim, have a further shayla, assuming that that's true. We follow the halacha that you have to say Malchus, you have to say the word Melech in order for a bracha to be intact. What about if a person leaves out the word Ha'olam? Was that considered to be a bracha? So many Acharim say, why not? The Gemara says, you have to have a shame. So I said the shame. I said, Hashem, okay, no, I said two shames, maybe. And the Gemara says, you have to say Malchus. I said Malchus. So what do you want from me? I didn't say Ha'olam. I said, Baruch Atah Hashem, okay, I'm Melech, oh, I'm so I left out the word Ha'olam. So many Acharim write, okay, it's also okay. So other Acharim say, wait, not so simple, not so poshut. Maybe you have to say Ha'olam, because Because the very definition of Malchus means that Malchus is the Melech of something. He's the Melech, the king of who? Of what? There's a Malch, as the phrase goes, a Malchus, Bo'am or something. If you don't have someone who you're a Melech over, is a Chaisor, is a Pagam in the Malchus? If you don't say Melech Ola, it says Nishkein Melech. So Sabach Renim of a Chumran, that you have to say the phrase Melech Olam in order for it to constitute a statement of Malchus. And even B'dieva, if you don't say Melech Olam, so you wouldn't be Yotze the Bracha. So the Acharonim start tumbling. Is it right? Is it not right? Back and forth. So one of the rayas that they bring is from the davening on Rosh Hashanah. Here the Mishnah says that you have to say Malchios, and each pasuk has to express Malchus Shemayim. So which pasukim do we use? Hashem Yimloch Yolam Voed, Hashem Bolach Geus Loveinu. We don't always mention. I don't need the pasukim mentioned that he's the Melech HaOlam. It just says he's a Melech. So you see from Hilchos Malchus, you see from the pasukim that we use, no one ever heard of being mocked with the same pasukim which mentioned HaOlam. So you see from here, that's the Olam is not mocked. It is the Melech. Whether the people like it or not, they accept him or not. Lemaisa, the bottom line is the Rosh is the Melech. So the saying of the Olam is not Ma'ach. So some of the Chavarim write, you see from Hilchos Rosh Hashanah to Hilchos Brachas all year long. That the word Olam, Lechatchili, you have to say it. That's the Takana called Mishan of Be'er Brachas is a Brach that you're not supposed to change in this Chabracha. But B'diyevit, the Bracha would still be acceptable even without the magic word of the Olam. The significance of Malchus, in terms of the davening in Rosh Hashanah, is to such an extent that it's the only part of the only word, it's the only phrase in the davening that's ma'akev, not just in Rosh Hashanah, but on the entire Seres Me'etshuva. We have a lot of hasafas that we have into the davening during the Seres Me'etshuva, but only two of them are medina the Gemara. The Gemara at the end of the first Mecha Bracha speaks about substituting HaMelech HaKadosh for HaKel HaKadosh, and the Melech HaMishpat for whatever the regular chasim is, the rest of the year. Armenig is Melech Oyev Tzedakha Mishpat. Others had Akel Oyev Tzedakha Mishpat, whatever it is. But you have to say the words Melech Mishpat in the Bracha Shpadesh during Aseret Mitzvah. All the other additions that we have during Aseret Mitzvah, the Zechreinas, the Mechamochas, everything, don't appear in the Gemara. And therefore, most of the Rishonim of the opinion that they're not Ma'akev. Tosis quotes one opinion in Brachas, that even though they don't appear in the Gemara, but they have their roots back to the Gemara. And therefore, if you don't say you have to go back for Shpadesh. But nobody follows that. With Shulchan Aruch, we don't accept that. We assume that these other four, the Zechreinus, Michamochus, and Chsof, and the Sefer Chaim, are only additions from the days of the Gaonim, and therefore they're not going to disqualify the Shemoneh Esrei. The Rishonim have problems even with them. Who gave the Gaonim the right to put these insertions into the Shemoneh Esrei, particularly where they are? The Gemara says in the third Pekha Brachas that you're allowed to add personal Bakoshas into Shemoneh Esrei in the Bakosha section. So if you have a Rechayli, you're allowed to ask for a Fur Shleim, you have a Parnasa problem, you can ask for Baruch Aleinu, you want to do well on a Fana, you can ask for a Chari Hadas, whatever. There's a lot of places where you're allowed to ask for personal Bakoshas, but the Gemara says that those bakosha are supposed to be either in the bracha of me'ein that bracha, so you put the refu'enu into etc. Or if you want to in general speak about in Shabbat tefillah, that's okay. Or if you want at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, you know, when you finish, you say Elokai Netzor, you can add whatever you want also. But the one place where you're not supposed to add is in the first three brachas, or in the last three brachas, that's not appropriate to add because that's not a place for bakosha b'chlal. The first three brachas are the Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the last three brachas are the Hodah to Ribbono Shel Olam. So for you to add your personal bakasha doesn't make any sense. So the Rishonim of all of the Kasha, how can they go in and institute the Zechreinu into the middle of the first bracha? I'm praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all of a sudden I'm saying Zechreinu L'chaim. It doesn't belong. You should put Zechreinu L'chaim into Shemet Tefillah. It's another place in the Shemet Esrei. So what's going on with the Zechreinu L'chaim? So the Rishonim basically explained that although we're not supposed to ask for personal bakashas, we are permitted to ask for tzibur bakashas, things that affect the entire Klal Yisrael, so that's okay. So that breaks the rules that you're allowed to do. So we justify the meaning of saying Zechreinu. But Lamaisa, if you left out Zechreinu, you're Yayit Tishman Esrei. If you left out Michamachas, Mesei Pechah, Mitzchak Saif, etc., all those Hachsafas, Vidyevin, you would be Yayit. But if you left out the two Hachsafas, which affect Malcha Shemayim, then you wouldn't be Yayit. So Tachad Ramah quotes a Machlekes about is Melech Oif Tzedakha Mishpat really affecting Malcha Shemayim. So there were two minhagim apparently as to what the chasimus habrach of Melech Tzedakha Mishpat was supposed to be the rest of the year. So apparently there was some nusach that somehow that the regular bracha all year long is kel oif Tzedakha Mishpat. The same way we say kel hakodesh. So on a regular year they said kel oif Tzedakha Mishpat. So the Ramah writes, if you have that nusach tefillah the rest of the year, and then when it comes to Seres Me'etshuva, you forgot and you said Kel Oif Tzedakha Mishpat, that's like saying Kel HaKadosh. So you didn't mention Malchus, so you have a problem. Even with the Eved, you have to go back. But says the Rebbe, if you follow what's our standard minhag, I don't know if anyone has another minhag today, but if you follow the standard minhag, the standard text of everybody today, that we say Melech HaTznach Mishpat all year long, so we said Melech HaTznach Mishpat already. So the person forgot to say HaMelech HaMishpat, big deal, says the Rambam. You said Malchus. The whole idea, the whole takana was that during a Seres Mitzvah, you have to mention Malchus. So I said Malchus already. I said Malchus today also. It's not a Seres Mitzvah. If I just said Malchus, so that wouldn't be Ma'akev. But others disagree, the Taz, others disagree and say no, that the Takana was to say the words HaMelech HaMishpat, just to say Melech Ohev Tzedek HaMishpat, that's not as powerful. HaMelech HaMishpat means, now, Melech Ohev means, the Russian likes Mishpat in general, it's a good time, a good thing, Mishpat. HaMelech HaMishpat means Tachas, right now it's time for Mishpat. So other Achvarim disagree with the Ramah, the Achvarim say that if you left out HaMelech HaMishpat, you would have to repeat the Shemana Esrei. So we're not sure what the din is, so we treat it like a little like a snake of the Dina. So some Achvarim write that the evidence of a person forgot to say HaMelech HaMishpat, so you should daven again be suffic tonight that if I'm chayef to daven, it's a tefillah. If I'm not chayef to tefillah, it's a daven. It's a voluntary tefillah. It's what some achronim write. So as matters that we're not sort of running to daven tefillah, it's a daven. So many people just don't repeat the Shemona Esrei. We had different practices about tachas. What do you do if you left out hamelach hamishpat? At least you said melach oif tzedach hamishpat. But whereas it comes to kela kodesh, if you left out hamelach hakodesh, then you finish. Then you have to go back to the beginning of Shemona Esrei. So malchus is absolutely ma'akev. That's the most important part. Whether you left out sefer chayim, zechren, that doesn't really matter. But if you left out hamelach hakodesh, so malchus is an integral part, not just of Rosh Hashanah davening. It's an integral part of the entire. Of the entire davening of the complete time of Aseret Yemei Tshuva. There is a question, the Chayodim quotes a Chiddush Gadol from one of the Acharonim, that maybe there's one exception to this rule. Maybe there's one time of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva that if you left out of Melech HaKadosh, you don't have to repeat the Shemona Esrei. That's the first night of Rosh Hashanah. First night. That's the worst time to leave it out. That's the night of Malchus. So says the Chayodim, no. One could argue that if you say HaKel HaKadosh in the first night, it's not so bad. Because the Gemara says in the fourth breath of Brachas that if you left out Yalav Yavo at night of Rosh Chodesh, with the Eved, you're okay. Because Eim HaKadosh HaKadosh Balayla. Because you can't declare Rosh Chodesh at night. So therefore, the Yalav Yavo is not so terrible. So if you left that Yalav Yavo at night, Mishkei Felech, with the Eved, you would be okay. The Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't begin the Din in Shemayim until Beis in Shamata or Mekadosh HaSachodesh. It says, Ki Chok LiYisrael Hu, Mishpat Elokei Yaakov. That first it's Chok LiYisrael, that first Klai Yisrael has to declare that Rosh Chodesh. When they declare Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, then Bakav Liyedim, then the Mishpat Elokei Yaakov, then the Mishpat starts in Shemayim. So the Mishpat doesn't start at night. It's Ein Mekadosh HaSachodesh Balayla. And the Melon in Beis in Shabbat, they don't sit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't sit in the Kisei HaMishpat until the next morning anyway. Way. So if you left out of Melech HaKadosh, the Chayyadim says, no, not so terrible. It's like leaving out Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh. So the Rav was very upset with this. He thought this was not correct. The Rav thought there's a tremendous difference between the two. He thought that Yalav Yavo is not really Shemona Esrei itself. Yalav Yavo is a Hosofa. Chaim has sometimes we add things to the Shemona Esrei that are not integral parts of the Shemona Esrei. They're additions to the Shemona Esrei. We say Yalav Nisa, we say Yalav Yavo, we say Tachanatah, whatever the additions are, they're Beteres Hosofa to Shemona Esrei. So when something is a Hosofa to Shemona Esrei, so we can negotiate. Some Hosofa, some Ma'akev, some Hosofa, some Ma'akev. So Yalav Yavo is usually, and Yalav Nisa is not. You have to figure out what the rules are, which Hosofas are and which are not. But sometimes you have something which is not a Hosofa to the Shemona Esrei. It is the Shemona Esrei. It's the text of the Shemona Esrei itself. So the Takanas of Chavim was that 344 days a year you say Akel HaKadosh, and 10 days a year you say HaMelech HaKadosh. That is the text of the Shemona Esrei. It's not a Hosofa. So that's what Chaim talks about. Is Mashif HaRuach? Is that a Hosofa? Is the same Talabot? Are those Hosofas? Or are those, that's the, which are half the year, that is the text of the Shemona Esrei. So the Rav said that he thought that HaMelech HaKadosh is the text of the Shemona Esrei itself. So what do you mean you forgot to say? It's like you forgot to say, you forgot a bracha of the Shemona Esrei. You didn't say B'chayim Eisim, you didn't say a bracha. So it doesn't matter that Ein B'kadosh HaKadosh B'lai, that razzle dazzle shtetl Torah, that's true when you big don on Yalav Yavo. Do I have to say Yalav Yavo? Do I not say Yalav Yavo? I didn't say it. Did I say it? Did the Yavo? Look at Chila. That you can negotiate. But when it comes to something which is an integral part of the Shemona Esrei, it's not to negotiate. So the Rav thought that if you left out HaMelech HaKadosh, even on the first night, you would have to repeat. The good news is that it very rarely happens, because usually, at least the first night, everyone's not going to machzeh. Most people don't know v'chein tein pachtach about that. At least for the first night of Rosh Hashanah, they know. But later, if you're a chassid, you know that about that also. Most people don't trust themselves the first night, so we very rarely get that challenge. But in theory, you have machlekes, chayotim, and others, but in the end, it would be okay. But the rest of the week, for sure, melchadosh is ma'akev. So you see from here that kalos ha'machlech shemayim is an integral part of Rosh Hashanah, it's an integral part of the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. And again, according to Rashi, it's maybe even a din deraisa. said that it has its roots in the Chumash itself, the significance of Kabbalah Sabach HaShabbat. Maybe next we can talk a little bit more about Zichronos and the Shofars.
For regular Melech, are you allowed to imam lechem during the nighttime, or do you have to imam lechem during the day?
You mean to declare the coronet king? Is there a din the coronation king through by Yom? I don't remember.
That would be nafkamina also.
Okay, maybe. I don't know. All those things in hurry is.